Welcome to the first episode of DC Breeze's Hot Air in 2018. My name, as always, is Greg Esser. I've got an interview on tap this week with Coach Daryl Stanley, his first year with the Breeze as head coach. And first year with the Breeze in general was 2017, so he's entering his second season as coach, some more consistency to the role. Be interesting to see kind of his takes on, you know, what he can refine from last year, what stands to take a step forward this year. Really looking forward to it. It is a long interview, and I apologize for that. Try to keep these things short in general, but it had been a while since I talked to you. Last December was December of 2017 was the last episode, so after a long lag, I'm giving you a lot of content today. Turn that podcast stream onto 1.5 speed to get through it all. Whatever you got to do, if you can keep with my fast talking, hosting, do what you gotta. Off the top, there was some big announcements. Of course, Daryl Stanley's back. That's why I've got him on the podcast. He's back in head coach, but also some key personnel announcements. Brad Scott is back after an injury-plagued 2017. Lloyd Blake, a year after just, you know, breaking onto the scene in a big way, long, lanky, lefty handler, he's back. Nathan Pryor and all of his perfection out of the handler role. Max Castle in that initiation cut role and willing to throw deep, willing to release that hammer. Jeff Wodach, the 2016 second team over the entire AUDL, he's back. Rico Johnson, the defensive powerhouse and cutter. Matt Kerrigan, also a little injury-plagued in 2016, had those shoulder problems. We've got him back. David Shields, the handler, D-line, handler, shutdown guy, back. Marcus Thal, the big body, taking away cuts before they even start with that the broad reach and defensive prowess. You've got John Walden, cutter extraordinaire, and Ryan Swift, another guy that can play that initiation role, can chase down some deep hucks. All those guys already signed for 2018, and a lot of excitement there. The one thing I will say, and Daryl and I will talk down that list as well during the podcast today, but notably missing two guys that made the first team Eastern Division last year, and that's Tyler Monroe and Rowan McDonald. I'm really interested to see what happened with those two guys. I expect some announcements in the upcoming weeks. Will be interesting to see, as I think those guys are key cogs for the Breeze last year and will continue to be so this year. That said, that starting 10 is a good start. Actually, it's more than 10 even now that I count it up. That starting group of guys, a good place to begin the 2018 season. One last note off the top, Equity Council. The Breeze has got one. It's starting up this year. Daryl Stanley's sitting on it. I also look forward to talking to him about that Equity Council, what they intend their role to be in the community, the ultimate community as a large. A lot of excitement there. All the new stuff. Let's get to the interview. One administrative housekeeping issue, I will say, you know, I should be back rolling with it. Now that we're in the preseason here, tryouts are next weekend, the 24th of February. This is the first open tryout for the Breeze in 2018. Hopefully every other week, every third week, now till the season, we'll be getting some hot air out there. So please subscribe, listen in, tweet at me, the Greg Esser, tweet at the DC Breeze. Let's start the conversation. Let's see who you want to have on this podcast. Make it yours. Without further ado, handing it over to Broke Royals, our house band. Play us in. Had the distinct pleasure sitting down today with Daryl Stanley, kicking off the 2018 podcasting season. Right off the top, Daryl, how'd you weather the offseason?
Great, man. I really did think a lot about Ultimate Frisbee and went ahead and decided to test my new theories with a new Ultimate Frisbee team in addition to the DC Breeze, and I'm excited about it.
I saw that. You are with the University of Maryland men, is that right?
Yeah, I took them on this offseason. Actually, John Walden, who was a 2017 Breezer, he approached me, and I'm working with Nate Pryor, another 2017 Breezer, and it's been a fantastic experience for me.
You're certainly staying busy, and you'll need to continue to do so, because next weekend it falls on
the 24th of February, noon to 5 p.m. Dunbar is opening tryouts, so it's good we've got you on the hot seat today to discuss the preparations for the season.
I'm excited.
Let me just quickly glance into the rearview mirror. What are some of the biggest things you learned as a coach, you know, as a first time as a head coach in the AUDL, and it was your first year in D.C.? What did you learn about the league? What did you learn about the city? What did you learn about the Breeze?
Yeah, I think I'll start with the city. You know, I love it. I love the size of D.C. It's like, it reminds me of Center City, Philadelphia, but that is the whole boundary of the district, you know. And I love that. It just kind of compresses all the fun things. The museums here are unreal. I feel like I've only tapped half of them. This is a wonderful city. And cool. Even better is its ultimate frisbee.
We got a scene.
Yeah, we do. And we have a lot of talent. I feel very fortunate to have worked with, you know, players from AG, Truck Stop, MedMen, on the DC Breeze this past year. I mean, I feel like it's a nice hodgepodge of you know, players who are really, really good and really, really eager to try to build something together.
Sure. And as long as you're listing club teams, I'm going to force you to mention John Doe because you're contributing with a John Doe guy right now.
Facts. Yes. I think Johnny Mox was, and yes. And you, obviously Greg Esser being a continuing player for them. So that's good.
Club shout outs aside, what are you most excited for the DC Breeze season in 2018?
Well, I'm excited because I think last year we really showed – I talked a lot about home field advantage, and I'm really proud to say that up to this point – oh, I'm definitely jinxing myself here. I have not lost a semi-professional Ultimate Frisbee game played at home.
I write Sludge blog about that one.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, I'm setting myself up. I can see, you know, some team using that as some sort of motivation. But
that made headlines last year, right? You know, that's talked about frequently in the ADL. Like, home field advantage is so big. And I mean, it's in every sport, right? Why do you think that is in the AUDL? Do you think it's, you know, the availability of your full roster? Do you think it's this intangible home-cooked meal? You know, do you think it's the rival crowd? What are you thinking after seeing it in action last year are the biggest factors?
Wow. I mean, I think you nailed the three, but I'll definitely touch on them closer. I mean, when you talk about crowds, going up to Canada, Montreal and Toronto specifically, the crowds there were just large and loud. I mean, you feel their, you know, their push for the home team, and it is so hard to even communicate effectively at those fields. You know, I've kind of already known that semi-pro was like that, but up there it's just a whole another level. Like, you can't even pump yourself up after you score because they will, you know, chant something against that. And it's one thing if a team tries to chant against you, but when the fans do it and the PA announcer is doing it, you just, yeah, it's intense. I think the home-cooked meal is a huge piece, right? It speaks to preparation, right? It speaks to familiarity of routine. And I think that Ultimate Frisbee players really don't have a lot of experience where one party has all the normal preparation that they have grown accustomed to, and the other party has none of it. You know, when we all travel to the tournament formats that are very popular in the amateur versions of the sport, we don't have that effect. We are all, you know, effectively not prepared, or we're all preparing in a hotel room or what have you. But
do you know any guys that have excelled at like a high school or college sport that ended up in Ultimate at this stage of their life, that because of their college, because of their high school experience, played in front of those couple thousand person crowds, and now you see are either more locked in or more resilient because of it?
You know, that's interesting. I would say unknown yet, right? Because down here in DC, I have one such player that I could look to, Johnny Malks, who was, you know, still a high school senior last year and has now graduated. And I just saw him this weekend at Eastern's qualifier, really, really pushing William and Mary to perform extremely well. They finished in the semis at that tournament. And when I looked at him, I saw him now unflustered by that moment. You know, he was able to just turn it up to a new level and be, you know, I thought the best player on the field against you know, North Carolina State, a team that was top 15 in the nation last year. And he was, you know, willing his team point after point on both sides of the disc. So
that's almost the other way around. He's like finally this generation of ultimate players that's getting that big crowd, big game day exposure at the age of, you know, 17, 18 years old.
Right, exactly. And now I'm seeing him go, you know, as a freshman in college, and here he is, you know, taking a very good program to just the next tier. And, you know, it's hard to say if, you know, it was just semi-pro, if it was him at, you know, in high school, if it was him at YCCs, but I'd say definitely the culmination of that is, you know, suggests that he just doesn't rattle at this point when he's playing ultimate. So, yes.
Other than continuing your streak on home game victories, what else are you excited for the Breeze season in 2018?
Well, I think it gives us a new challenge to see who else is going to step up in the community. I think, you know, last year a lot of new things were in place. You know, I'm new to the scene. You know, Will Selinsky was new to coaching in the AUDL and with Breeze. The partnership between Breeze and Truck Stop and what that looked like was all new.
And those three things are pillars. They're continuing again this year. Is that right?
Yes, all except for Will, sadly. You know, Will had a major life event. I mean, he had the birth of his child.
Sound like it's a bad thing? That's an exciting fun.
I think it's amazing. And
yeah, okay.
You know, as a non-father,
major life event. I'm thinking he's got a house fire.
Oh no, that would be horrible. But yeah, no, he's got a new baby, and you know, I think he and his wife are saying, you know what, like, let's shift priorities. You know, this season and focus on that. And I think that that's great. But he will be helping us in the preseason. He's going to be at tryouts. He confirmed that with me. And I think his eye for talent is, you know, he's known this DC scene. He's worked with the high school teams. He's worked with, you know, the Joe Fruins and Johnny Mox's and, you know, countless others in the DC Ultimate community. And
so you're looking to bring maturity to the scene of the things that started last year. Some of the fresh things, you know, are starting to reach maturity or at least get into their adolescence in 2018. Is that a fair summary?
I think so. I mean, it's like we like the direction that we headed in and we want to keep going in that direction.
Saturday, February 24th, noon to 5 p.m., Dunbar High School. That's when tryouts are going down. Tell me more. What's the expected format? How do you approach this in your position and as your second year in head coach?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's about giving every type of player an opportunity to show themselves on the field, whether they are a handler, somebody who can really, or like an in-cutter who can really huck. I'm going to challenge them on their throwing ability. I'm going to challenge them on their huck shapes. You know, I'm going to challenge them to see if they understand, you know, inside out versus outside in, whether they understand what I mean by, you know, raising the front edge of the disc, if they have different release heights, if they can aim for different parts of the field. I'm going to see, you know, given certain challenging circumstances, can this person hit the kinds of throws that I want? Are they able to break a mark and still deliver, you know, really consistent throws? And I hope for some wind, because if there's some wind, you definitely start to see, you know, the experience level and the mental makeup of the player.
So that speaks to what you're looking for. And then the only time you talked about, like, I think a little bit of format is like, man, wouldn't it be nice to have some of this win thing, this X factor, this, you know, God given on the day. What else about the format are you tweaking to put people in those positions? What can a player showing up expect to see format wise?
Sure. I mean, the aforementioned throwing drills are definitely a piece of it. We're going to work on one-on-one cutter defense, handler defense. We're going to work on, you know, cutting to trying to get open against a tight defense. We'll see how, you know, generally athletic and the build of the player. But also, I think the scrimmaging portion is going to be different. We're going to try to play small field ultimate and small side ultimate too. You know, better known as mini. but our best 3-on-3, 4-on-4, exactly. Where, you know, my goal is to try to have some quick games that are intense, you know, 3-4 minutes of hard running, where, you know, you as a player have to show that I can fulfill multiple roles or I can help self-organize our team
little sneeze there.
Oh, I got some allergies starting up down here in South Carolina. There's actually grass on the ground. So,
speaking of South Carolina, this is actually a Breeze podcasting first. You and I are not sitting across from each other, staring one another in the eye. We are using the virtuals of the internet. So, congrats to that. You're the first time remote recordee on Hot Air.
Whoa! Just imagine who you could interview next.
Does that blow you away?
You did it again, Greg. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I can't come up with a good wind pun, but yeah, I'm blown. I'm flying high over here, you know.
Okay. So, last question about tryouts. Then, you know, so maybe if someone is tuning in, they're also kind of trying to parse talent. They're thinking about their amateur scene this year. Are there any kind of platitudes that go through Coach Stanley's head about how to parse talent in a more organized fashion? Since, you know, obviously you have tons of people at Breeze tryouts. Hopefully we have more than ever. You know, last year was up, if memory serves, around 75 at some of those open tryouts. How do you just parse the field?
Yeah, I think the secret is to look for outliers, right? You have to see if somebody has a unique skill. And maybe it's not even unique, but they're at a certain level at that skill that's like higher than everybody else there or higher than you've seen. The other key thing is to see more Ultimate live, right? Let's say if I were, like you said, a local organizer for, let's say, a club team or a college team, I would say that, you know, you have to watch a lot of Ultimate, right? You need to see what does the best at your level look like? You know, what kind of skills do they have? And then this way, you know, when you can come to a tournament, or a tryout, you can start to say to yourself, okay, I now know, like, wow, that is the best, you know, backhand huck I've ever seen where I asked for an inside out. I can't believe he's able to get that off with the mark. I can't believe that she's able to, you know, run that down. I think you have to see more so that you know when a superlative talent is in front of you. And then you got to give that talent as many different ways to contribute, from specialized skills to just getting them inside of game, or to getting them into, you know, like we're talking about with Mini, where, you know, they'll have to show their best skill set, their determination, their will. I think if you do that, if you can make sure that you touch all the different roles that way and all the different major skills where somebody can just, you know, wow you and surprise you, I think you'll be able to see people stand out. Even if it's just in one drill that they stood out, then you can start to say, okay, let's bring them back and get a closer look, and you might find that they have a more complete package.
Okay. I like that. That's insightful. Is you know, the, you know, you're warming up a muscle. You are, you know, creating an involuntary activity by watching enough Ultimate that, you know, it just stands out to you on the field. You start to just realize these things almost subconsciously.
Yes. It's the only way, because otherwise, you know, what you'll have is you'll pick the best of what's available to you, but if there's a certain standard you're trying to set, you know, you may not be able to achieve it because you don't really know, right? You're just taking the best 20 that come to you, and you may not know that there should be better or that you want more. So
you talked a little bit about your 2018 coaching staff. You know, Will's still going to be in the margins, but maybe he won't be the main player he was like 2017. You know, how do you replace that void? Do you have other people in mind then?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to cast a wide net. I think that, you know, I'm open to a lot of different formats to me, you know. I think that the opportunity to have like an offensive-focused coach and a defensive-focused coach along with me as, you know, the head coach, able to kind of supplement either side or just to kind of coordinate both sides is really, you know, something I'm eager to experiment with if you know the options are there to me. But yeah, we have a couple of names in mind. You know, I think there are some high level ex players you know that I've made some relationships with. Finally, I actually have some relationships now in DC Ultimate that I'm going to try to you know, talk to, and there may be familiar faces to some Breeze people, so stay tuned.
So let's talk about some of those familiar faces in terms of the players that are also announced coming back this year. There's a whole list of 10, the first announcements of the 2018 season. It's up on the website. I encourage you to check it out. I'm not going to hit them all here. What really stood out from that list for me, particularly, are two players that missed, in one case, all the 2017 season, another that missed, you know, a good six-game stretch. Talk to me about what the additions of a fully healthy Brad Scott and then a fully healthy Matt Kerrigan mean to the Breeze.
Sure. with Brad Scott, you know, Brad has been a part of the organization through, you know, Don's ownership period, right? And I think that he was one of the breakout young stars that we were able to find, you know, from 2014, 15, and so on. Last year, unfortunately, you know, he had double hip surgery for his labrums, and you know that he was still in recovery by the time we had the Breeze season. He was signed last year, and you know he attended you know a fair number of Breeze functions, but he didn't get the chance to make his mark until actually the club season this year or this past year.
The partnership between Truck Stop and the Breeze.
Yeah, exactly. And for us, that meant that, you know, we got a good opportunity to see Brad even in practice while, you know, with the Breeze last year. He was still a practice player. Then going into the truck season, I really got to see some of the magic that we saw, you know, from the younger Brad Scott. He's still young. I don't want to call him old, you know.
Yeah, certainly not young. Or so he's certainly not old.
No.
You saw the 2014-15 Brad magic.
Yeah, I did. I started to see that. And, you know, I now have – he's got a whole off season where he's had the opportunity to, you know, move past his hips and to work on, you know, rebuilding all that explosiveness that he had. So for me, I'm excited that he's back on board, and I think that a fully healthy version of him, he brings height, he brings defensive, you know, playmaking ability. His layouts are, you know, fantastic. I remember a sequence against, I think it was Montreal, where, you know, Brad got like a layout D against like a swing, I believe. And then he runs down the field and, you know, receives the huck like right away. I mean, I love that bookends capability. I've seen him sky people in club this last year. So I'm just excited that we got that. Like that's big. We were not a very tall team on the D-line last year. I think Brad gives us, you know, another big man defender in the ilk of like a Cranston, and I'm excited about that we can have him cover somebody over 6 foot.
Yeah, that's certainly appealing. And the thing that I'll add from Brad Scott, from having watched him play for so many years now for the Breeze, is he, you know, not to take away anything from his typical performance, but sometimes in those dire moments, game on the line, playoffs, 2016, are his biggest moments when, you know, we need one more turnover, and you know, sure enough, he's getting a hand block. Sure enough, he's laying out in the backfield. You know, as good as he plays during regular time, it's sometimes the overtime or the final minutes when you see some of the most vintage Brad Scott plays.
I mean, great. More.
Matt Kerrigan missed 6 games last year. We got a fully healthy Matt Kerrigan signed for 2018. What'd you miss last year, and what are you looking forward to having him available every game?
Yeah, Matt, you know, that shoulder injury was pretty tough. You know, apparently it's been a long-standing injury for him. I think he made a great, you know, recovery and was able to contribute for us down the playoff stretch. But having him healthy again and having that not be an issue, he went through, you know, another very good club season with Medicine Men, where, you know, Matt is just the mental attributes on Matt Kerrigan are just through the roof, right? The willpower, the determination, the technique, to just keep grinding away and cutting, and then, you know, not turning the disc over. He was one of our highest percentage throwers last year on our O-line. I'm actually challenging Matt Kerrigan possibly to a new role. I'd like to see Matt Kerrigan take those same offensive talents and apply them maybe in a defensive on a D-line.
That's right. That's some breaking news.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Sorry, Matt, to put you on the spot. But, yeah, that's something that he and I have talked about in the offseason, and I think that, you know, that's a role that could even take his value even higher, because getting breaks, obviously, is hard. And Matt's fitness level, his timing, his ability to kind of move the offense as a cutter is really – I don't know. He's got, like, this gravity to him, right? Like, he can just kind of absorb – more of the percentage of responsibility to move a team forward. I've seen it in club, and I want to get that here for the Breeze next season. So that's something that we'll see Matt try to transition towards.
Awesome. Jeff Wodatch is back. Rico Johnson, Lloyd Blake, all noteworthy in their own right. I'm not going to grill you about those. The last two players I want you to talk about, to hear you espouse on right now, are two players that, for me, I was surprised to see in the first 10, not because of their ability. I think they both played outstanding. And I've mentioned them both here on the podcast before as, you know, as outstanding as they were, their playtime seemed limited at times. I hear you talk about what the motivation was a little bit and what you expect to see out of the growth of second-year ADL, well, now third-year ADL player Marcus Thal. He'll be a second year on the Breeze and his second year on the Breeze, but also a second year in the league, sophomore season out of Nathan Prior.
Yeah. Marcus having that other ADL experience up in Pittsburgh, I think is huge. And it showed, you know, he just came right in and, you know, he knew what to expect. He knew what the road trips were like. He was prepared for that. I think that Marcus just kept growing on our team, right? He was a guy who was willing to defer initially in his, you know, in his offensive abilities on the turn. And, like, you know, we worked with him and we started to really pull that out and get a lot of, you know, great performances out of Marcus later in the season for Breeze. And then that just went right into truck stop season. And, you know, Marcus delivered some of the best layouts, some of the best goals, some of the best hucks on the D-line. You know, I was able to call him as an underneath cutter and an away cutter. And as a defender, you know, even if that wasn't always his primary responsibility in college when I used to, you know, coach against him, he made the – yeah, Penn State, you know. Marcus was an unbelievable player for 4 years there. Having him transition over to the D-line this last year – I mean, he has immense defensive potential. He already was extremely athletic and a good at laying out, but he worked with our MedStar team and got faster, you know, and got even more explosive. And I already thought he was extremely explosive. I think there's nobody else who's more likely to stretch in front of you while talking to you than Marcus. He just keeps limber at all times. He's usually like reading.
You mean actually legitimately stretching, not stretching his the conversation or the balance. he's talking, he's touching his toes.
Oh, he may do that too. Marcus is quite known to be a glib personality for sure. But literally he will stretch in front of you. He will be, you know, doing his diet and, you know, often reading a book.
Picturing shades of SNL skits where short shorts Will Ferrell is on the bleachers in front of you.
I mean – it's kind of like that, honestly, because you're in circumstances where you just wouldn't expect stretching to occur. I mean, on planes, on the bus, he's like just on the ground doing some stretches, like while everybody else is like sitting in a chair, you know.
Good. talk to me about Nathan Prior.
Sure. So Nate Prior, you know, he didn't play a lot initially because I think I had him miscast. You know, Nate was this D-line handler who showed in the tryouts in flashes that he could go ahead and just take over a point by just playing at a different – I use the word tempo a lot when I'm coaching. He just plays at a different speed to everybody else, right? I could see that he was processing mentally and moving quicker than all of his opponents, but yet he didn't throw off his teammates with their timing. Like, that's a very unique trait. A lot of younger players will be accused of playing too fast or, you know, throwing a throw or doing a thing in a moment that their teammate didn't expect, and that leads to turnovers.
Brashly.
Right. Or like, being jumpy or something with the disc. Where Nate had that ability to play fast, but also never throw anybody off, except the defense. His fakes, that tempo, his accuracy with the disc, his ability to break the mark, were all at such a high level that Nate went – I can't even remember how many games it was, but like he threw like some 200 or 300 passes before he even had his first turnover.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So once we figured that out, we moved him over to the O-line, he became a staple of our offensive line. And then, you know, I keep talking about how these guys just kept growing into the truck stop season. You know, these rookies – got even more comfortable by the club season right after Breeze. So he was our center hand. Well, Allen was our center handler for the Breeze, and Lloyd right behind him, Nate being the third often. But when it came to truck time and Alan Kolick's unfortunate injury late in the season, Nate Prior became our center handler, and Nate Prior dominated. I just cannot believe how accurate this man is. He's like a 98, 99% thrower in high volume. He turns
– a rare breed.
Yeah. There's very few high volume, I will break the mark and throw a hard throw players who are keeping it up in the 98% range. Like, that's just not a thing. Those are usually people who just dump the disc and do nothing risky. Nate does plenty of things that make the offense better.
Sounds like we have ourselves a good starting batch. We'll look forward to more announcements over the next month in terms of players and then preparation for the season.
Oh, yeah. There are more names are in the pipeline, so stay tuned.
The other thing that I've gotten wind of is the equity committee. This is something that I think you're certainly on, and if not heading up. But tell me more about what the Breeze's vision for this. What's your vision?
Sure. The equity committee is, you know, the Breeze looking at themselves and saying, hey, we see this gender equity movement. We are happy that it has become a league-wide and Ultimate Frisbee-wide discussion in this late fall, you know, winter timeline. I think that when you look at what we've done in 2017, where we hosted the, or I should say co-organized the DC Women's Showcase game, that game was, you know, awesome. And I think that it was a good showcase and a good exhibition of what, you know, women's ultimate could look like, you know, if it's given the same resources and attention that men's ultimate has been up to this point. I think that being at the forefront of that and now seeing that this is now, you know, a bigger discussion in the AUDL, I think we were eager to say, hey, you know what, how do we move past and extend the work that we've done with clinics, you know, youth clinics here in the DC public schools, where we're getting, you know, young urban students, right, to play ultimate. And, you know, Rowan has obviously been big on that. Ty Simpson, one of our owners, has worked on that. And go maybe a little bit further. Maybe we can even say, like, hey, what are we doing in 2019, 2020? You know, some of these teams are out here saying that they were able to start women's teams, you know? What if we were able to partner with some other other cities and see what happens there? Maybe something bigger than just, you know, an exhibition can happen.
So by design, who's to be on this equity committee? You know, I prompted. I said, you know, certainly you're on it. You're a good authority to talk to it in this early formation. But by design, you know, who's serving on the Breeze Equity Committee?
For us at the moment, we are still in the mission formation phase. You know, and with that, we have decided that we need to recruit. At the moment, it's been just some pre-signed players who are, you know, active and interested in gender equity in ultimate.
Players are serving.
Oh, yes. At the moment, we have pre-signed players serving to help, you know, form this committee. But we believe that we should be, you know, internally representative of what we want from the sport, which, you know, could be a one-to-one, right? One male to one female gender ratio. And we are, like, in the current recruitment phases to find women to help us be informed and help have a voice in these discussions. You know, we don't know that we have all the answers, and we don't know that we have the connections and understanding of what women's ultimate is like and what it could be. That's why we're doing that. That's why we're making sure that we get some outside voices and getting women's voices into the mix. A lot of people don't even know that we have a female owner as well. You know, and she has been involved and very interested in the equity committee's formation too. So, you know, I would say that, you know, stand by, because we basically have people who are helping to incubate this committee and to get it, you know, foundational. And then we will certainly start to make announcements publicly about what we are doing and who we're meeting with.
Great. That's all very encouraging stuff, and something else to be excited for the 2018 season. Hopefully lots of good website content and content here on Hot Air that'll focus on the Equity Committee and its work.
Yes.
You know the drill. This is your second time on Hot Air. I hand off the mic to you. Is there any other hot, burning desires that we need to discuss today that need to get out to the people? It could be ultimate related. It could be related to, you know, clipping your toenails regularly, hygiene tips. What do you got for us, Daryl?
You know, I'm going to stay in my lane and go with something ultimate related. You know, I would say that, one, I got to give a shout out to the University of Maryland men's team for this weekend. We just qualified for the Eastern's College Tournament by coming in second place at the Eastern's Qualifier.
I mean, that's good and well, but you're kind of shouting out yourself. Next topic.
Oh! Okay. The NBA trade deadline, I loved it. I went from, you know, despising the Cleveland Cavaliers setup and their team makeup and the vile toxins that they were spewing at each other as, you know, quote, teammates, unquote, to loving the new, energetic, you know, multifaceted team that they've created in one day.
It's an exciting year this year, and there you get a little insight into Daryl Stanley, NBA fan, loving the X's and O's in a variety of sports.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining me on Hot Air, Daryl, and this is a long one, so hopefully people discover the 1.5 or the 2X button if they can hang with our fast talking speeds as they listen to this one. They can get through it in a reasonable amount of time, but I'm ready to sign off. Parting thoughts?
No. Thank you for having me again, and hopefully I'll be able to come in at a later time this season.